The word that became flesh and dwelt among us. That word that brought the Lord himself into our neighborhood. I'm asking that this morning this word will go forth in grace, will go forth in power. I pray that, Lord, every life under the sound of my voice, online and on site, will be transformed. And your name will be glorified. You will stretch forth your hand over this congregation to bless your people. You will save. You will help. You will transform. You will heal. You will deliver. And your name will be glorified. Have your way, Spirit of the living God. Glorify Jesus in this place. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus and be seated. I'm reading from the book of Matthew chapter 25. I'll read 14 to verse 30. Matthew 25 from verse 14. I'll be reading from the King James version of the scripture. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. He that received 1 went and dig in the earth and hid his lost money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter in thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Then therefore, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto everyone that had shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that had not shall be taken away even that which he had. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This conclusion about the unfaithful servant, I pray it will not be your own conclusion. I'm speaking on transform through faithful stewardship. Transform through faithful stewardship or faithful service. No one can serve God above his or her knowledge of God. The major issue in the kingdom of God is not power. The major issue in the kingdom of God is nothing else but the issue of knowledge. And then you see Apostle Paul again and again will talk about the issue of knowledge. things you need to know. Some believers are the way they are today because of the level of knowledge that they have. Some are in bondage to sin. Some are in bondage to all kinds of evil today, all kinds of entanglement, slavery, satanic manipulation, because they lack knowledge. Not because the God they serve cannot help them. You remember how Isaiah prophesied and said, my people have gone into captivity. Not because I, their God, their maker, do not have the power to save them. But we say because they lack knowledge. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. So the church cannot be heavy above the knowledge and the obedience of her members to the issue of service and stewardship. And that's why I believe these few days we'll be looking at how to experience the transformation. Can I quickly tell you here that the issue of stewardship has to do with everything about who we are, what we have, and what we are called to do in the Lord. Who is a steward? A steward is a manager or a caretaker of resources, properties, estate that belongs to another. But in this context, we are talking about a steward as a believer, a child of God who have been called, chosen, appointed, delegated by God to manage his resources, his endowment. And so God expects us to be faithful. But you can't be faithful if you do not know that stewardship is a responsible use, deployment, and the prudent management of that which God had committed into your hands. Who is a faithful steward? It is the steward that will do the right thing at the right time with the right motive with that have been committed into his or her hand. Faithfulness calls for you to be loyal, to be dependable, to be prudent, to be responsible, to be trustworthy. Manager of all that the Lord had released to you. You know, that text that I read to you, the Bible says, a man was going to travel into a far country and he called his servants. And the Bible says, that's why I like it from the King James Version, because King James says, he delivered to them his goods. He delivered to them his what? His goods. His goods. Thank God for the song sung by the choir. His goodness is running after me. God is good. He does good things. And he gives good things to his own children. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. In the Bible says, according as the divine power he had given to us all. Not some, not few. All, everything that we need for life and godliness. But he will not come. The Bible says it comes through the knowledge. Through the knowledge. Everything you need. So when we look at this text, his servants were called. The first, giving 5 talents. The second, 2. And then the third one, 1. But can I tell you that the master knew his servants and he gave them, the Bible says, according to their several ability. According to their several ability. God will not give you something that is beyond your ability to take share. Because if he does that, it will become a waste of resources. But you know, in the church, there are 5 categories of people that I would describe as when it comes to the issue of being a good steward. There are people that their knowledge of stewardship is faulty, is flawed. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1, the first issue that Paul had to address while he was speaking to the church in Corinth, he said, brother, I will not want you to be ignorant. In other words, you can be ignorant of what God has made available unto you. He said, I wouldn't want you to be ignorant of them. And then when he was going to talk about the issue of giving in the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, he also spoke about the issue. He said, I will not want you to be ignorant of the grace of God that have been bestowed. So when you are ignorant, you will not know what your inheritance in God are. You will not know the reasons for living and the reasons for those inheritance that God has brought into your life. And so you have people that their knowledge about God and what God gives is faulty. Then the second category of people are those that they are faithless. Yes, they know what God had given to them. They know what God demands of them. They are not ignorant, but then they lack the ability to believe God, to trust God, to hold on to the word and the promises of God. So they are faithless. We see that in this text. Because one of those servants said the reason why he didn't, you know, do what the master expected him to do was because he said, I was afraid. In other words, he could not trust himself and trust the master's ability and trust the potential and the trust that the master had in him to do what the master expected him to do. Then a third category of people, when it comes to the issue of stewardship, are those who are fruitless. They are not bearing fruits like the fig tree that a man visited his garden, his, you know, vineyard in Luke chapter 13, expecting the fig tree that he had planted that he had nurtured. And the Bible says he found no fruit. And then he was angry because he said, I've been coming. I'm coming again and again, and then have discovered that you are not producing the right thing. And you know, he wanted to cut that down. But it was an appeal by the vine dresser. Just one more time. Just one more time. There are lives that are at verge of being cut down, but Jesus is interceding for such. Just one more time. Just one more time. Why? Because they are fruitless. And there are people that are frustrated. You see, when a steward is fruitless, when a steward is unfaithful, such a steward will become frustrated. That's what we see in the life of the third category of servants. But we're talking about faithful stewardship and how you can experience transformation, change. How you can experience a divine turnaround in your life as you recognize what God has given to you and you do the appropriate thing with what God has given to you. And that's what we'll talk about, faithful stewards. That's the fifth category. There are people who are faithful to God with their lives. They are faithful to God with everything that they have. Like the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, that Moses was a faithful servant in his house. Faithful servant. I just draw maybe five things from this text and then we'll pray. Now the Bible says, when the master was going to travel, he called his servants unto himself and gave them his goods. His goods. Amplified translation said, he gave them his possessions. He gave them his possessions. I know you have a corollary of this very parable in Luke chapter 19, where he specifically talked about money. He said, occupy until I come. And that tells you that, just like someone said, the rent you pay for the space you're occupying on earth is service. That's what you owe God. Are you hearing me this morning? The reason why you are alive now, the reason why God has kept you alive, why, you know, the Boko Haram have not cut short your life, why evil have not taken you away, why sickness have not taken you away, the reason why God has kept you alive is so that you may serve him. 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 I can't forget the experience I had September 11, 2020. Dr. Tammy knows what I'm talking about. I was, you know, went for my bosom friend's mother's funeral, and then I was returning with my wife, you know, back to Lagos, and then we got to the Long Bridge. We're almost in Lagos when, you know, my driver, you know, fell into the trap of those, you know, wicked fellows who locked around the Long Bridge. Those of you who are familiar with Lagos, you know what I'm talking about. And then, you know, the tire busted. And it was, you know, traveling with SUV. Then the tire busted. We had a lot of yams that, and so. But I knew the experience. I've heard so much about the terrible things that happen along that side. And I remember that one of our Baptist churches, a New Covenant Baptist church, there was this major general who was killed on that spot. A soldier killed on that spot. And I remember, I thought we had moved too far away. I said, well, maybe just stop. Let's see whatever we could do. We didn't know they were trailing us. And then immediately they surrounded us. And my driver ran away when he saw their weapons. And you know, as he ran out of the car and then jammed the door, you know, the central lock got activated. And then, you know, they were trying to force their way. And they couldn't enter. They had to bring down the windshield, the everything, you know, just to get at us. But of course, the long story short, they took everything that was takeable from us. And even the food we got from the program, they took it. We thought that they were done. I had my laptop, I had my iPad, I had some other things, my wife's phone, everything. And then I thought they were satisfied. Then I didn't know they had a plan to kidnap me. Because they saw me, I was in Agbada. You remember that day I wore Agbada, you know. And they thought that maybe I was one of those big politicians. And so they wanted to kidnap me. And they asked me to follow them. I said, I won't follow. You have taken everything. And then they started using their dagger and everything. And they realized that the threat they expected was not happening. So they thought that I had something under it that was preventing that. So they removed the agbada. And they tried that again. It didn't work. They removed the buba. Those of you who are Yorubas, they removed that. They removed my singlet. And then, you know, they kept doing that. All I was hearing was phew. It was as if they were using stubble to hit me, to hit me. And they realized that it wasn't working. They had to say, okay, they pondered me down the lump, you know, the bridge, very deep. And they did all they could, all this while, you know, vehicles were passing, no one was stopping. No one was stopping. No one. It was in the night. It was past 8 in the night. The place was dark. And to cut a long story short, we lit for over 20 minutes. They didn't succeed in anything. And then one truck was coming, and then the, you know, the boy insisted he needed to stop to help because my wife kept shouting. And then they pointed a torchlight. They thought it was the police. That was when they retreated. And when I came out of that experience, I remember what that boy that pointed his torchlight said. Said, the good thing you are doing, continue it. A boy I never knew from Adam. But what came to me is that, what is the good thing I'm doing other than service to my maker? And I know that God kept me, preserved me. Didn't allow me to die where others died because of service. I want you to understand that God can do anything to defend anyone.
that is out to serve him. Are you hearing me? God himself said in Isaiah, he said, I'm going to defend it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to protect it. That's Isaiah 27. I'm going to make sure that nothing hurts it. Nothing hurts it. Many, many years ago, I have been saying that loud and clear. Everywhere I go, I said I'm unkillable. Because that was the first experience that will have a physical weapon being used against me. But you know, before, I tell, you know, no witch can kill me, no this can, you know, that. But I didn't know that even the physical weapon, praise the Lord. Yeah, I can't, let me not just be talking about my own personal experience. I've had many, many experiences to prove that God is willing to do any and anything for anyone that will say, Lord, please use me and use me for your glory. And I know that somebody's life will be transformed this morning in the name of Jesus. Like I said, I just pick out five things. You see, when you are faithful, what kind of transformation do you experience? Now, the Bible says two of the servants were faithful. Now, they committed that which their master gave to them and they walked with them. And then when the master came back, they had to give account. And when they gave their account, now these five things took place when they gave their account. The first one was there was a commendation to those who have volunteered to do what the master wanted. The master said, well done, commendation. You find that in verse 21, you find that in verse 23. So the first two servants were set apart from the other one. Why? Because they chose to be faithful. They were consistent. They decided to do what their master wanted them to do. While the other one, the bad one, didn't do anything. And you know, they moved away from their personal interests to serving the interests of their master. New Life Baptist Church Abuja would not have been here if this man of God had not committed himself to serving the interests of the master. It's not easy to pioneer. Are you hearing me? Because I've been there. It's not easy to pioneer. There are a number of things you have to deny yourself. Number of things you have to go through. A number of things that you have to suffer. Just because you want the master's work to be done. And that's the first thing. Was that they had commendation. The second thing was the issue of their character. And there was a test of their character. Because their master said, well done, good and faithful servant. It was a description of their character. Not good and smart servant. Not good and clever servant. There are people who think they are very clever. I remember many, many years ago, while I was laboring, pioneering and all of that, and then this demand for cooperative deals, you know, was heavy on us. We had a lot of projects to do and all of that. And then I taught my people that we needed to be faithful since we have agreed that this is our cooperative, you know, covenant. And I remember one person who told me, are you smart? Why not be giving 1% instead of 20% to the convention? Will they check your book of report? And I said, no. I have to be faithful in spite of all that we are going through. And I realized that over the years, until I left, God kept honoring that. He kept honoring that. So here we see a description of character. I say, well done, good and faithful servant. And see, these people, these two, you know, categories of servants, they were faithful in little without waiting for the big things. He said, you are faithful in over few things. Few things, little things. They live true to their servanthood. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, it is required of a servant, it's required of a steward that he be found what? Faithful. That's a requirement. That if you know that you're a child of God, if you know that Jesus had done so much to save you, to redeem you, to ransom you, all you owe to him is faithfulness. to be faithful to him. The third thing, we see that the unfaithful servant, the reason why he chose not to be faithful was because he said, I was afraid. In other words, he didn't want to take a risk. He didn't want to do what he needed to do because of fear. The faithful servants that their master commended, they had a proof of courage. A proof of courage. Those faithful servants, they took risks and invested while the other one did nothing. He just kept his master's good until the master returned. In life, nothing risk, nothing gain. If you risk nothing, you do what? You gain nothing. You gain nothing. Time will not permit me to talk about when I was called into the gospel ministry. At that time, you know, the issue of having sponsorship was not easy to come by. Thank God for the great work you are doing here. You are having a number of pastors you keep training, sending to the seminary. The Lord will reward you abundantly. The church where I got born again did not send me to the seminary. And I remember when it was time to go to the seminary and we needed to pay 6,000 per annum, and I didn't have 600 naira. What I had on me was 150 naira, and we needed to pay 6,000. Apart from other things that we were asked to buy mattress, buy your bucket, your jacket, whatever, I didn't have money. I left Lagos with 150 naira. And I remember I boarded a bus with 80 naira to Bumosho. I was left with 70 naira. God had earlier told me, I was to pick up a job with UPS. And God told me, no, go to the seminary. And I remember how one of my friends ridiculed me at that time. And I remember that I got to the seminary, I got to the gate, and rain was falling. And then I decided to just wait by, you know, the gate area for the rain to subside. And while I was waiting, a vehicle came, Operation Reach All Vehicle from Ibadan. And lo and behold, a pastor who happens to be a friend of mine for many years was coming to look for me at the seminary. He knew I was going to resume. And he said a group of people somewhere in Lagos were praying and they felt like supporting someone in the seminary. They gave him 3,000. If I didn't step out of Lagos, I would not have fulfilled this call. Are you getting my point? If I said, well, I had nothing on me, nothing risk, nothing gain. The fourth thing is the fact that the Bible says, their master said, enter into the joy of thy master. Means that faithfulness attracts, has a companion. It has a companion. If you are faithful to God, there are a number of things that will begin to come, flow into your life. Joy will flow into your life. Greatness will flow into your life. Promotion will flow into your life. I can't forget the church where I gave my life to Christ. We were to buy a bus. Thank God that pastor said this morning that the bus is ready. Let's appreciate God for that. The bus is ready. I don't know how the bus came, but I want to believe that it was not our own, like our own experience at that time. We wanted to buy a Tokumbo bus, a used bus. And we had to do, you know, plan a big program launching and all of that. We're writing letters to people outside. You know, we wanted our brethren outside to come and support us. And we had a chief launcher. We had this. Who know what I'm talking about? And so we prepare food, waiting for the people to come. You know, that morning is like we had a special set of rolls, you know, kept preserved for the people that we have invited. Lo and behold, 1 hour into the service, not even a single person. God wanted to teach us a lesson. And I can't forget that experience. At the end of the day, the chief launcher sent us a message and said, sorry, he had a challenge. He will get back to us later on. And it was Dr. Amadi who preached at that service. And then when he started calling for people to come and make commitment, I was living with my uncle then who, you know, had fleets of vehicles and some other people like that. And nobody was coming out. Nobody. It was like if there was a glue to the seat. I was a student. And then God spoke to me and said, go out. I was asking myself, what do I have? He said, well, you remember that you just bought an Evernote table fan. Evernote. How many of you know Evernote? Table fan, one of those fans of this. And then I have this sharp tape. I just bought that. And how did I get to buy that? Because I had to, you know, while we were on break, I used one of the taxis to walk. I was a taxi driver at a point, not as a professional, but because I needed to do something. Are you hearing me? And so the money again, you know, I was trying to be a young boy, you know, young teenager, making things. So I, at that time, I didn't have cash on me. And then God told me, what about that tape? What about that Evernote? So I calculated what it would amount to, and I came out. My uncle and his wife were angry. Why? Because they were feeding me. How come that the one we are feeding, something is happening? I remember that day as we stood outside. The man asked for stones. I can't forget. Asked for stones. And then began to put into our hands. That was about 1989 or something like something. So put into our hands and prayed for us. As we were turning back, God spoke to my ears. There's no need that you ever have that I will not meet. And I stand boldly to tell you that God has not failed over that word. But you know, the other sad part of it was that after the experience, one of the brothers in the church who did not come out, volunteered to buy my tape, volunteered to buy my Evernote table fan, and said he was going to pay me. He only paid me half. He didn't pay the other one. I had to do joint man labor to complete it and to redeem my commitment. But you know, till the brother passed away, he was on the same spot. He didn't move forward. But I have moved. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You never know the depth of joy that comes to your life when you are faithful to God. Because faithfulness brings companion. It has you know, things that he attracts into your life. And number five, faithfulness, when it comes to serving God, it multiplies your capacity. It multiplies your capacity as a child of God. Now, the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy master. He said, thou hast been faithful over a few things. He said, have authority, have rulership over many things. Now, to put that in context, in Luke chapter 19, now the Bible tells us in an appropriate way in verse 17 and verse 19, said, have thou authority over cities, 10 cities. Praise the Lord. And here is the issue of the capacity. Who were these people that their master gave them his goods? Who were they? His servants. But look at the transformation. They were transformed from being servants to rulers. He said, you have been faithful. therefore have authority, rule over 10 cities. Transformation, change, a turnaround. The second thing, they were housekeepers. They were mere servants. But they now became city rulers. Did you get that point? They were just in one person's house. One house. Maybe the other neighbor didn't know them. Maybe people in their street didn't know them. Maybe people in their community didn't know them. But look at the transformation. Look at the change. Now the master came and their reward was that the first one will now have be a ruler over 10 cities. 10 cities. What a quantum leap. A quantum leap. Rulers over 10 cities. The third dimension of the transformation was that they were servants. They were under. But now, they became people that were over. From zero to become heroes. From nothing to something great. I remember when I was a child, growing up to become a teenager, I had a desire, you know, to serve God in my innocency. Why did I have that desire? Because at that time, I was a Catholic boy. And then anytime I went to the convent and I saw the way the reverend fathers, the way they eat, the way they, you know, that attracted me. And the way they dress. And then we had to, you know, being a male servant, you know, serving the Reverend Father. I didn't know that God actually had a plan that I would be his servant. But I just had that desire, like Moses. Now, you know, the Bible says he felt like God was calling him to be the liberator, the defender of his people. And then, I remember at that time. But after a while, I started living a riotous life as a teenager. I started living, I went away, far away, the other extreme. Until God saved my soul. And when God saved my soul, it wasn't more than 2 years after my salvation that God spoke clearly to me. I have chosen you to be my servant. And I remember that. If I had not surrendered my life to Jesus, this thing that I'm doing now, preaching, going from place to place and all of that. Now, I've seen, I remember when I was leaving the University of Calabar and you know, there was this dearth of lecturers in my department, and because of, you know, my result, they wanted to retain me to be a graduate assistant. And my family members got to know about it. And I was the first in my entire large family to be able to break through the limitation imposed on our family by wishes. No one, we're always brilliant, but no one ever made it to the tertiary institution. And God, because he saved my soul, I was able to make it. And then it was like, now be a graduate assistant. And my family members were telling me this will now be an opportunity to be having family members coming into the university as if they don't make jam, as if I will have to reload them. But I remember, I told them, God said, I'm going to be a servant, so I'm not going to go that way. They were disappointed in me. They didn't support me. But I remember, a few years down the line, I became pastor to professors. I became pastor to university lecturers. Then I told some of them, with what I'm doing now, you know, by the special grace of God, one of the DVC of UNILAG is a member of our church. And I said, is there any one of you that would do well that you cannot go? At that time, it's like, if I were to be a lecturer, my strength will be limited. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about transformation. God wants to transform somebody's life this morning. But it begins with salvation. It begins with saying, Lord, Maybe I've not realized the reason why you kept me alive. I've not realized the reason. You can be coming to church and not coming to God. You can be in church and yet you are not in Christ. But this morning I want to challenge you. It's a time for you to say, Lord, my life is not my own. To you I belong. And I want to give my life to you. Let's rise up on our feet. I think it was William Maxwell that said, I give myself.
Life is not my own. To you I
your hands to heaven and begin to say, Lord, today I realize and I reaffirm it again, my life is not my own. I belong to you. You are my maker. You are my maker. You are my redeemer. Go ahead and begin to appreciate him. Father, we thank you. We honor your name. Our life is not ours. Our life belongs to you. We honor your name, O God. Be exalted. Be glorified. Thank you, Almighty God. And the thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. That text tells us that their master delivered to them his goods. Their master delivered to them his what? His good. Can I ask you a question? Has God not been good to you? Has God not delivered his goods to you? He gave you grace. He gave you help. He gave you protection. He gave you clothes to wear. Do you know there are some people that they don't even have time to wear? God has been kind to you. Lift your hands to heaven and begin to say, Lord, thank you for your goodness in my life. Thank you for giving to me your goods. Thank you for giving to me your goods. Your possession. Your possession. The air I breathe is not mine. The air I breathe is not mine. The air I breathe is not mine. Oh Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Why was it that the other servant was not transformed? Why was it that he remained on the same spot? It was because he was unfaithful. He refused to give himself to doing the bidding, the interest of the master. Lift your right hand to heaven and say, my Father, my Father, today I renounce every and any act of unfaithfulness in my life. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. I renounce anything and everything that represents unfaithfulness to you, unfaithfulness to your work. I renounce it today. In Jesus' name we pray. I like you to pray and say, Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to be a faithful servant. Help me to be a faithful servant. The master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You have been faithful over a few things. Become ruler over many things. You have been faithful over a few things. Become ruler over cities. Over cities. Over city. What a promotion. What a lifting. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, Heavenly Father, deal with everything that is contending with my being faithful to you. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Say, Father, deal with everything that is contending, whatever is contending what was contending with the faithfulness of that servant that was unfaithful? He said it was afraid. Say, deal with everything, Lord. 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 Calabra takatalabrandia bashataria. And the in Jesus' name we pray. We're going to pray this prayer, and it has to do with someone here. You know, many years ago, there was this woman who was the only one working in the family. The husband lost his job, and then she felt like that God should understand that she was carrying so much burden. And then she decided not to be paying her tithe, because she said, God understands. God understands. The first time the armed robbers came, took away her gold and everything that she had labored, that she was trading in gold, took them away, and we thought that was going to serve her a lesson. He said, but I can't be paying tithe. With all that is around me, things are tight. How can I be paying tithe? And she was afraid. She had unbelief. There are some of us that the reason why things are tight for us is because we are owing God his tithe. You see, it's a principle in life. If you hold on to what belongs to God, then you make things to be very tight for you. There are some under the sound of my voice that the reason why you are not paying your tithe, you are talking about those issues. Say, God understand this. God understand this. God understand this. That servant said, I was afraid. It was fear. Pray. Lift your hand to heaven again. Say, Father, deal with everything in my life, in my mind, in my reasoning that is contending with my being faithful. Deal with it today. In the name of Jesus, deal with every fear, every unbelief. Lord, deal with them. 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 In the name of Jesus. Let my life not be stagnated anymore. Let my life not be limited anymore. Lord God Almighty, I want to experience a change, a transformation that comes through being faithful to you. Lebra katalabaria bashatale gederia lebra katalabalia bashatale gederia lebra katalabadia shenteria. Thank you, Almighty Father. Glory be to your name, O God. Be exalted, be magnified, be magnified, be glorified, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified, Lord. Thank you, Almighty God. Blessed be the holy name. Blessed be the holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I know that God's presence is here to deal with some issues. But I know that the first thing that God is pointing at is that you are not the owner of your life. I own that life. And I have a purpose for that life. And until you surrender that life to Him, you will not discover the purpose. And you cannot fulfill that purpose. All eyes closed. You know that, yes, you are in church, but you are not in Christ. You have not given your life to Christ. Today you want to say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. Jesus, take over my life. This life is not my own. To you I belong. And I recognize your lordship over my life. You are taking that decision. Raise up your right hand anywhere you are. Say, Lord, I surrender this life to you. God bless you. Raise it above your shoulder. Raise it above your shoulder. God bless you. God bless you. God see those hands. Raise it above your shoulder. My life is not my own. To you I belong. To you I belong. Raise it above your shoulder. And raise it above your shoulder. Put the other one on your heart. Put the other one on your heart and repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, raise up that hand very well and put the other hand on your heart. Yes, put the other one on your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, today recognize my life is not my own. To you I belong. To you I belong. I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I renounce every sin. I renounce every rebellion, every disobedience. And I ask that from this day forward, take over my life, reign in my life, rule in my life, be my Lord, be my Savior from this day forward. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done in my life. Lord, I pray for these souls. I break the yoke of sin over their life. I break the yoke of the devil over their lives. Right now, I pray that from this day, that they are set free from sin. They are set free from a life of rebellion against God, against the intent of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask, oh God, that right now, from this moment, that these ones will not be the same again. Open their eyes to see the reason why you have saved them, why you have kept them alive. Blessed be the holy name. Thank you, Almighty Father. Be exalted, be glorified, be magnified. Holy are you, Lord, our creation. Call ye God. Holy is your name. We worship your majesty.
Thank you, Father.
Awesome God.
Ahead and worship him now. Worship him now. Do you need a miracle from the Lord? Just worship him.